Good morning. I'm getting up here close to the camera so you can see I don't have black eyes. It just looks like it. When I get back down here, the video makes me look like I've been punched in the eyes, but I haven't. And I don't know why. I mean, I thought I bought a good camera, but you never know. Also, I didn't want to use this. I wanted to use the new microphone, which sits on your desk, but I can't get that work to work either. So I'm having a hard time. If you overlook the video, or maybe just choose the file that says audio only, then you won't see any of this. People have requested a video, so I'm making a video. And I'll make them interspersed in the audios. And always you'll have the choice of just listening to the audio. Okay? So, am going to get quiet for a minute. You can join me if you want to. I'm sorry about the lighting back there. I'm not too good at this yet. I guess I'll get better as I go along. But the point of this whole thing is to listen for the spiritual principles. All right? That's what we're listening for. And so let us be still and listen within for a moment. It must be okay because there's a feeling of the presence almost immediately. Thank you, Father. Now I can go forward. We're on chapter 3 of Parenthesis in Eternity. You can't see that. I guess it's backwards, isn't it? Oh, well. Chapter 3, The Spiritual Adventure. I only read parts of this because I'm interested in the principles. I'm not interested in a lot of Joel's going back to the history of things. I like to read that when I'm reading for myself, but not when I'm putting on a talk because I only have an hour. All right, so down here in the first chapter, he says, I mean, the first paragraph, he says, one thing in common. All that existed for them, this is the earliest men and women who found a spiritual answer. This is, well, no, that's not right either. This is how we lived and how we used to live. One thing we had in common, all that existed for them was what they could see, hear, taste, touch, or smell, or could reason and think about. All of that is the third dimension. All of that is mental images. Think about that. What you see, hear, taste, touch, and smell, and what you think and reason. This mind, this human mind, it so wants to run things. The only time I feel the presence and feel complete and whole is when it's quiet. And he says, similarly, is not today filled with people educated and uneducated, yet knowing nothing beyond what they see, hear, taste, touch, or smell? Okay, so that's the third dimension. That's the first birth. First, we're formed by these sense images, by reason, by the mind. That's the temple made by hands. And that temple, it's really just a parenthesis in eternity. Mine began in 1954, and it almost ended a year ago. But I'm still here. So it hasn't ended yet. But let's say it ends in 10 years. Okay, so that's make me 77. That's the parenthesis, 77 years. It's a little chunk when you look at eternity. It's nothing. It's not even a sliver. When you... experience the first birth, you are formed by mind. You're formed by images. You're formed by the senses. And so that's what we're going to be talking about. The first birth, the first forming. And we're going to be talking about the next one, which is spirit formed, or consciousness formed, or God formed. Okay? You must be formed again. That's what we're going to be talking about. So, the human race, as we know it, is composed of men and women living completely shut off from divine aid, divine sustenance, and divine providence. Somewhere along the line, or along the road, man lost sight of his identity and began to look upon himself as a person separate and apart from his source. Under the necessity of earning his living, having to provide for his family, and later being compelled to protect his family and community from neighboring peoples. So that's pretty much how we were in ages past, and maybe even in this incarnation. And then we begin to get glimpses. I remember when I was 10 years old, I was at Camp Bluff Lake. And I stood out there and I looked up at the stars. I knew there must be something. I could feel it. And that's what happens. We begin to have these glimpses. He says, as the centuries rolled by, the record of these many revelations shows us clearly and unmistakably that these men of the long gone past knew that they, as human beings, were not the men of God's creating. This is not the man of God's creating. There's an invisible, incorporeal man right here and everywhere. That's the man of God's creating. I keep looking at my eyes because that's what I do when I talk. I speak to an audience, but you're up there in the camera. I got to remember to look up there. I'll get it. It'll take some practice, but I'll get it. Okay, so here it is plainly. The first birth is not of God, not God's creation. Have you spent any time with that? Contemplating that? That's one of those things that's sweet in the mouth and bitter in the belly. That's one of those things that is very disturbing when you look at it. Okay, so I was born in 1954, and I learned to walk, and I learned to talk, and I learned to say no, and I learned to get into things, and I went to school, and I learned to read and write, and I went to school some more and got some degrees, and then I learned how to go into the world, the business world, and the world at large, and get positions. They were better than jobs. Jobs were like minimum wage. Positions were like 25 an hour. And when I finished my master's degree, I was able to get that. And it was mostly paperwork. Anyway, after that, somewhere in there, I got married. And that didn't work, so I got married again after a divorce. And that didn't work. I got married again, and now we've been together for 31 years. And happily, I might add. I see a lot of people that are married for a long time, but they're not happy. It's very strange. I don't say anything to them, but you can feel it. We're happy. You can feel that too. We still love each other. Because I didn't put that together, but that's another story. That would be for the next birth, where God is formed. Okay, so what he forms is forever. All right, so let us continue. 4,000 years before the birth of Jesus Christ, that's 6,000 years ago, there were teachers of spiritual vision revealing to their followers man's true identity. Yes, that's what I was going to say. So all of that, those things that I did, then eventually I retired, and then eventually I started teaching spiritual principles, and here we are. All of that from 1954 to here, which is 2021, is my parenthesis. And when you read that none of that is God's creation, it makes you go, oh my God, if you're listening, because here I've been living this guy named Bill and doing all these things based on his education and his experience, and God never created Bill. That makes you very nervous. And it sure makes you know that you're not in charge. Anyway, there's an answer to that. And the answer is, and that's why people pick a second name, you know. There was a fellow in Los Angeles, and I don't remember his real name, his first name rather, but he became Baba Ramdas, wrote a book, Be Here Now. Excuse me, I have to have a sip of something here. Okay, so let's see. Bhagwan Shri Rajneesh became Osho, and Siddhartha became, who did he become? Or maybe Siddhartha was who he became. Well, the first Siddhartha became Buddha. Anyway, when people are enlightened, a lot of times they take a new name. And I never did. Nothing ever came to me. Nothing ever felt right. But I was born again, formed again, beginning in 1973. And so things that have happened, such as my marriage, from then till now, are permanent. What do I mean? I mean that when God forms it, when consciousness forms it, not the mind, not the thinking, no, not the mind, but consciousness, the spirit, God, Christ, when Christ forms it, it's everlasting. So my union with my wife is everlasting. And I know that. That's why we're happy after 31 years. I have experienced the understanding of how supply works. And I mean, at a deep level. Now, to do that, I had to go down where I was borrowing bread from my neighbor. But I learned over a period of time how to practice the principles that open the floodgates to supply. I learned how to pour out the imprisoned splendor. And now I have supply, and it comes to me from all over the world and flows out through me also all over the world. And that's everlasting. Should I have died last March, I would have probably taken another life. Maybe here, maybe somewhere else. But I would have brought with me the ability to love and the ability to experience supply. The ability to have companionship and the ability to have supply. What I'm working on now is the ability to have life everlasting, a harmonious life, a healthy life. And that's what I'm working on. And I'm practicing the principles daily. And I will get it. Okay. So what I'm saying is, when God forms your life, you have supply, companionship, and life, health, forever. Forever. You don't go back and manifest from the mind. You don't go back into the false creation. You're born into the kingdom. So if I reincarnate, let's say, and I'm born in New Delhi, I'm born with this consciousness, this conscious awareness of supply, infinite supply, omnipresent companionship, and everlasting life. And I'm born with it because my consciousness was transformed here now. So that's what we're working towards, I hope. Years ago, there were teachers of spiritual vision revealing to the followers man's true identity. Your true identity is consciousness formed. That's your true identity. Those who were at all receptive were drawn to these teachings, and undoubtedly, some of them made the transition from the man of earth to the man who has his being in Christ. Or we could say, from the man of earth to the man who Christ, in who Christ has his being. Now, in much the same way, the three-dimensional man, the man of earth, lives in a world circumscribed by his own limited concept of himself and his world. Yep. The man who is in ignorance of the truth that there is another realm of consciousness which he could enter and there find a more glorious life. One not lived by might or by power. Yes. Okay. What is that other realm? He speaks of another realm quite a bit. Do you know what it is? Yeah, I think you do, but let's look. Okay. I have The Art of Spiritual Healing, and I'm going to read something to you. He says, It's very important. For years, after I had learned to recognize all forms of sin, disease, lack, limitation, depression, or whatnot, or mesmeric sense, or hypnotism, the puzzle was to discover how to break that hypnotism. It was then that I discovered that scriptural passage, which you will find throughout all my writings. The stone was cut out of the mountain without hands. Now remember, we've been saying over and over here that there's a life that is created by hands. That means that there's a life formed by mind, by hands. Here, he says, he discovered the way to break that mind, that hypnotism, the way to break the mind, way to break the hypnotism is something called a stone cut out of the mountain without hands, which is exactly what we're talking about. It's a form cut out of consciousness without the use of mind. You see that? It's great. Our weapon against error, our offense and defense, is something that is neither physical, mental, nor mental. It's not physical or mental, because both of those are temple made by mind. We set those aside, we become a witness, and we behold a form cut out of the mountain without the mind. It's wonderful. No action, no words, no thoughts, only the awareness of God. Okay? As you carry this out in practice, you can't have these principles unless you practice them. You have to practice to realize them. The realization comes with the practice. As you carry this out in practice, watching the stone being formed in and of your consciousness, what is the answer to every form of error? Stand still. No mind, no hands, no words, no thoughts. Stand still. Stop. Listen. Wait. Be receptive. And before you know it, the stone is cut out of consciousness without the mind. Consciousness forms itself. And he puts it this way. As you carry this out in practice, watching the stone being formed in and of your consciousness, while you stand to one side as a witness or a beholder, eventually a state of peace will come. Then you will catch a glimpse of God as is. Not a power over anything, just God is. God is. You begin to understand that no power does anything to anyone, and you become a beholder as reality begins to appear. You're not using the mind, no words, no thoughts, just silence. Now you're receptive. You have created an opening. And on the other end of that opening, the door swings open. And there stands I, consciousness. I in the midst of you. And I form myself. And then all problems fade out in proportion as you develop this ability to be quiet and to behold. to witness divine harmony appearing. You see, it's a whole thing that we're doing here. We start out with problems, which we're meeting by being still, by saying, okay, that's a concept. It's a world thought. It's hypnotism, mesmerism. I'm not going to participate. Be still. We'll close our eyes. Father, no words, no thoughts. Speak. And in that pausing from words and thoughts, consciousness flows. We see the stone cut out of the mountain without hands. We see the form, the harmony, cut out of consciousness without mind, without words or thoughts. And boom, it manifests. And whatever the problem was, dissolves. You see that? That's quite a bit different than we're reading books till we can find a truth to throw at a problem, isn't it? It's totally different. It's a different realm. All right. So the principle behind this is that inasmuch as the activity of the human mind, you won't like this, the activity of the human mind is the substance and activity of hypnotism. When the human mind is not functioning, there is no more hypnotism. When you are not thinking thoughts of words, when you are in a stillness, the human mind is stopped. Hypnotism is gone. When you experience this, you will feel something which transcends the human dimension of life. Oh my God, that's wonderful. And it's all in one place. The chapter's called What Did Hinder You in the Art of Spiritual Healing. Do you know how many years I studied to find that? Wow. Over 45. All right, now, this also leads us here, the new horizon. Because we're talking about the sense world and I don't have black eyes, I promise. We're talking about the sense world and a new realm, another realm, a new dimension, a fourth dimension, a realm governed by spirit, by consciousness. So, if you're like me, you're saying, what realm? There's a new realm? What does he say? The man who is in ignorance of the truth that there is another realm of consciousness which he could enter. So there's another realm of consciousness. That's where consciousness forms itself. Here's what he says in the New Horizon. The sense which presents pictures of discord and inharmony, disease and death, is the universal mesmerism which produces the entire dream of human existence. And so the parenthesis from 1954 to 2021 is a dream, but not quite, because I have learned to practice some of these principles. So that means I'm living in the dream part of the time, and I'm living in another realm part of the time. Now, lest you think that the good is okay, he says, it must be realized that the entire human scene is mesmeric suggestion, and we must rise above the desire for even good human conditions. Understand fully that human conditions of both good and evil are dream pictures having no reality or permanence. Ouch. That hurts if you're living in a human life only. But it also makes you go, what do I have to do? How do I get into this realm? And finally, he says at the bottom, above the sense life, above what you can see, hear, taste, touch, smell, and think. But I like to say behind. I don't like that above. It makes me think of heaven up there somewhere. So I say behind to myself. Behind this sense life, there is a universe of spirit. Now, spirit's consciousness, remember, governed by love. People with children of God living in the household or temple of truth. This world is real and permanent. Its substance is consciousness. In it, there is no awareness of discords or even material good. So, there's a realm, a real realm that you can live in. And if you pay attention and study this parenthesis in eternity and the book of John, John told us exactly how to live in that realm. And so does Joel. There have been individuals who, first of all, had some kind of an inner conviction that there is something beyond the greater. And that's what happened at camp when I was 10 years old. All right. Over here, he says, I hope this is working all right. It feels like it's bouncing. Let me move this up a little. It's going to be a mess, but I'll get better. Today, as then, if we tell the world that it's not necessary to live in a dog-eat-dog world, but that there is another way, the question comes back, well, what is it? And there is no answer. The materialist has no way of comprehending what is meant by living by grace or by the Spirit of God or by consciousness. The only thing that is important over here, he says, is that the search be begun. And we've all started the search, and I suspect that we're all very far on the path. If you're listening to this and you're wanting to do it, you are no longer human. No longer just human. And then that the seeker maintain within himself or herself sufficient drive so that even if they have to take the long way around and meet with stumblings and barriers, with discouragements and problems, they do not give up, but always maintain within themselves the hope and the conviction that there is a way to reach the realm of the real. With that inner conviction, step after step will unfold until eventually they find themselves home in God. And down here, the things of God are such foolishness to the man of earth that even if he were told what the truth is, it would appear so ridiculous to him that he could not accept it. And for this reason, he would be led into all kinds of bypaths, trying to find ways that seemed more reasonable. All right. This is the firstborn, the first formed. Remember, I'm changing that word. You must be born again to you must be formed again. I like formed because we're formed by concepts and images and hypnotism and dreams. That's why we have a parenthesis that begins and ends. But now we're formed by consciousness. And little by little, consciousness is taking over. And when it forms itself entirely, there's no beginning and no end. The supply is infinite, never running out. The companionship is everywhere, omnipresent. In fact, it's omnipresence. And there's no end to it. It's everywhere. Get in a rocket and travel to some other galaxy or some other universe far, far away. And when you land on the planet, if there's air there and you take off your helmet and you breathe, the presence is there. It beat you there. It was there before you got there. And life is everlasting. There's no end to it. And soon we'll find out there's nothing that can attack it. I guess the whole world now is aware of COVID-19. Well, it started about a year ago. And it did not come nigh my dwelling place. We're in a little tiny town that nobody knows about unless you've been here or somebody you know lives here. And it just did not come nigh my dwelling place. Okay, but other things have. I mean, I have allergies that come and go. And, I had a heart failure. I blew out the side of my heart over stress. I didn't know I was stressing. I guess those little meditations are more important than I thought because they give you calm and peace. Anyway, human beings, he says, are the unillumined. They're born, brought up in ignorance of their true identity. Yep, that's what we've been discussing. That's the parenthesis. I'm sorry, but it's the truth. Now, if you've begun to practice these principles, then you're living in that parenthesis part of the time. And the other part of the time, you're living in a new realm or some aspect of that new realm. At any time, we can turn within and begin our ascent out of the tomb. And what is the tomb? Well, the tomb is I hope this isn't longer than an hour. It might be. I didn't look at the time when I started. I'm sorry. But it'll be whatever it is. Maybe we'll have to continue next week. The tomb is what mind has created, what hands have created. The temple not made by hands is when you come out of the tomb. You ascend out of the tomb. What did he call it here? Yeah, ascent out of the tomb. Now, Jesus knew that everybody was living in a tomb because he had escaped. The words he used right there in red in my Bible say, I have overcome the world, for now I am no longer in the world. That's his words. I am no longer in the world. While he's standing there and they're about to crucify him the next day or two. And he's telling the disciples, I'm no longer in the world. So he's living in a new realm. Well, we're probably going to run over the hour. I never thought of looking at the time when we began, because I'm so used to doing the audios and you can look right at it and see how long it is, but I don't see anywhere on Zoom to tell me how long I've been talking. So next time I'll start the clock and I'll know what's going on. But if this one is really, really long, then I guess you'll have to take a break halfway and go have some lunch or something. All right, so yes, at any time we can turn within and begin our ascent out of the tomb. And the tomb is the first form. There is an indwelling presence. There is a Christ or Son of God within. This was really only another dimension of themselves, this inner divine spiritual self. So the spiritual realm is another dimension of your spiritual self, of yourself. You thought you were Margaret McGillicuddy and you were 56 years old and living in Boston, when in fact, you come to see that that was a dream. And you begin to awaken to another self that lives in another realm. And where is that self? That self is in the midst of you, right here, right now. And where is that other realm? Right here. So the other self is here, and the other realm is here. And when you find that out, it begins to reveal itself to you. Long, long centuries before Jesus, it was revealed that there is this inner self. And that inner self is a mediator between man and God. And when you hear such statements as, "No one can come unto the Father except he come to me," that's what it means. It means that your inner self, you go to your inner self, and then you commune with the Father. You have to be in your inner self to commune with the Father. A human being can't do it. No human being has communed with God. And even if one feels that it has, no, it just had a glimpse of another self. All right, so it's very important that we learn, that we begin to have this second birth. We must be born again. We must be formed again by consciousness. Okay, it says we must have frequent periods of receiving, there's that word, the word of God out of the mouth of God. The purpose of a mystical teaching is to reveal the Son of God within. Yes, so we thought we were here to maybe get an increase in our income or find the right partner, find the right wife or husband. We thought we were here to heal our black toe. I had a black toe once, that's why I say that. But we're not. Those are the added things. What does that mean? That means when we work with the principles of supply, yes, our income quadruples. When we work with the, when we work with the principle of omnipresence, we find that our companionship is everywhere. It's in the trees, it's in the stream, it's in the mountains, it's in the flowers, it's in the squirrels, it's even in the bears. We had a baby bear run across our yard, and the hunters were down the street trying to find it, and I sure didn't tell them where it was. And it's in the dogs and the cats. You have companionship everywhere. It's in the sunshine. For real. I had companionship with an orange tree. And when you practice the principles, you find out that God is your life. God is the health of your countenance. And it's everlasting life. And so as you realize each one of these things, harmony appears. And you don't ask for it and you don't work on it. It's the added things. Okay. The real mission of the teacher and his teaching is to turn us back within ourselves until we too, like the teacher, receive impartations. I just love that, what John said the first week. As many as receive him, he gives power to become the Son of God. That's wonderful. If you receive spirit consciousness in your meditations, or God, or Christ, or the presence, it will give you the ability to become consciousness formed, or God's Son. We need not hear an audible voice within. We may, but it's not necessary. We need not see any visions. We may, but it's not important. What is necessary and important is that we enter the sanctuary within. This temple of God that we are, and in which the presence of God dwells. When we recognize this and go within, we then begin to commune with that presence. It will answer every question. Remember, ask. It will teach us in the only place where we can be taught, within. It is not too difficult to learn to do this after we come into the awareness that there is a presence that dwells within us. That was God's gift to us in the beginning. God in the beginning planted himself in us. God did not give us a limited soul, but he gave us the soul of God, infinite, eternal, immortal, if we will but go to that center. When we have opened this source within ourselves, we shall find the master. We are never the master, we are always the servant. But once we are illumined, the master within us is expressing, functioning, and performing. This is the second birth. This is the second forming. The first forming was concepts, images, mind, reasoning, senses. The second forming is consciousness, spirit, God, the presence, the master within. Okay, and finally, whatever it is we are, it is because of the master flowing out through us. And that is the spiritual adventure. Now, I think we'll just read a bit of John, because I know we're dragging over, but maybe not. Maybe it'll be just right. All right. There's a man going to come to Jesus and ask him, how are you formed again? There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Master, which is Rabbi, Master, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, because no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He's sincere. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born, be formed again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, this is what we just said. If you're not standing in the true identity within you, you can't see God. Can't see the kingdom, even though you're standing in it. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? How can he be formed again? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born, be formed? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, I was going to look this up. I think these bodies are 98% water, 95% water. I don't know. Look it up. Mostly water. And so, except a man be born of water and of consciousness or spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So, you have to be here on earth in a body made of mostly water in order to experience a body made by consciousness. Okay? So you're not here because you're being punished, and you're not here because you missed out on something. You're here because here is where it happens. We make the transition by the renewing of our mind. See, we had a mind filled with concepts and images and hypnotism. We let that go, come up over that. We overcome it. And then we have a mind filled with consciousness, with spirit, with God. And it forms itself. Wow. We're living in a new realm. We're living in a new self. We're living in the kingdom prepared for us before the world was. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit. See, they didn't have the word consciousness that I know of, so they used the word spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Don't act surprised because I say you have to be formed again. This is beautiful here. Very poetic, Jesus. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. But canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of consciousness. And so you've heard that before. If you're out in California, you've heard the Santa Ana winds. And they come and you can hear them coming from a ways off. Then they're here and they blow everything and they pass through. You don't know where they're coming from or where they're going. You know when they're here. And it's the same with consciousness. It's the same with spirit. It's the same with God. I feel God. I feel God's presence. I did when I started this talk. And I don't know where it came from. We can say within. Can you draw me a picture of within? No. And I don't know where it's going. Into whose little hamlet? Whose little house? Whose little cottage, whose high-rise apartment? I don't know where it's going. One person gave me an email one time, sent me an email from a little island. I had to look it up. So small it was, in the middle of the Atlantic. Not close to America and not close to Europe either. It was in the middle of nothing. And they're listening to one of my talks. It's amazing to me. But that's how God works. You hear the sound of it, you feel the presence, and you don't know where it's going. Okay, so if you're formed of consciousness, you now feel the presence. Nicodemus answered and said, how can these things be? He really wants to know. Jesus answered and said, art thou a master of Israel and know not these things? Wow, that must have been frustrating. I think I would have just given up being a master and hung out with Jesus for whatever time I could have. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak what we know and testify what we've seen, and you receive not our witness. Well, there you go with that receive again. If I had told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. See? Nobody's getting this and feeling and touching and glimpsing that inner realm behind the senses, behind the sense world. Nobody's touching that, feeling that, communing with that, except he or her that has come down from that. And so you were in that before the world was, and you entered the world, the dream world, because it was here that you could come into the conscious awareness of that other realm. Even though you were in it before the world was, you didn't know you were in it. You weren't consciously aware of it. Now you're becoming consciously aware of it. And he's telling you, no one has ascended to heaven like you are now, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is you, when you are just a human being. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must you be lifted up. Okay. And that's, I think, well, we can press on, huh? It's only a little. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Okay, so, excuse me. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, that only begotten Son is consciousness formed. That only begotten Son, what is it Paul says, has many members, and they all have certain gifts. Mine is talking, teaching. Yours is something else. Maybe you're a painter. All right. But God loves that Son. God loves its manifestation. For God sent his Son into the world not to condemn, but that the world through him might be saved. All right. And then he says that you're condemned if you don't know him. And you are, because you're living in a temporary parenthesis. And there's a beginning and there's an end. And the only end is dying. So that's being condemned. All right. And then we have a little bit here about John, who was baptizing. And his disciples said, hey, you know, Jesus is baptizing over there, and he's got more people than you do. Of course, it says, but Jesus wasn't baptizing, only his disciples. And then it says, John said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. You see, what you manifest, nobody can take. When your consciousness forms itself as your new self, your new house, your new consciousness, your new life, your new supply, your new companionship, your new life, nobody can take it. Nobody can take it. So John's saying, this, what I have is my consciousness. What he has is his consciousness, and you can't take it. And he says, he must increase, but I must decrease. And that's true for all of us. He, being consciousness, must increase in manifestation. And I, being reason and words and thoughts, must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He who God has sent speak the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. Now, who is the Son? It's not that guy that was walking around 2,000 years ago. And yes, it is that guy. But it's all of us. The I in the midst of us is infinite, eternal, immortal, indivisible. And yet it manifests in an infinite number of forms. And that consciousness is all the Son of God manifested. God manifested, or the Son of God. God formed, or consciousness formed. And that's who the Father loves. Okay? Don't kid yourself. God doesn't love a dream. And that's hard to take. I know. I know from personal experience, that's a hard one. But God loves consciousness form. God loves his Son. And that you become as you walk this path and practice these principles. He that believeth on the Son and allows consciousness to form itself has everlasting life. And he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life. Well, but he experiences death. The wages of sin are death, right? Well, okay. So we covered all of it. Not all that I wanted to say, but we covered all that there is right here. Let's have a minute and be still. Father, pour out a blessing through us. Let it be consciousness formed, spirit moving. We pledge to be still, to bear witness, to stop, to behold. We remain quiet through our day several times today and tonight and this week. And in the quiet, we remain receptive so that we might receive what consciousness has to give. Father, let your consciousness form itself. Pour out a blessing. Pour out love. Pour out supply. Pour out life. And now let us be still. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. And then spirit manifests as and through my soul, the Son of God. Blessings. Thank you for pulling this out of me. And we'll do better as we go along. Thank you.